Welcome to Waiting For You, the podcast where we talk infertility, hope, loss and courage. I'm Janine, mum of one, a newborn and family photographer and lover of dark chocolate. Here we will share stories of families who have faced a different or difficult journey through conception, pregnancy or postpartum. I want to honour these stories and have them be heard, and I want to bring it all, the tears, the hope, the despair and the joy. I need to start today's episode with a trigger warning. Today we will be talking about baby loss and child loss, and if that is something that is hard for you to listen to, please feel free to skip this one and take care of your heart. Today I am chatting with Emma. Emma is all things Heartfelt. Heartfelt is a volunteer organisation of professional photographers who take photos for families who experience stillbirth or who have children with serious or life-threatening illness. Emma is first and foremost a photographer for Heartfelt, but she is also the Vice President, New Zealand Representative, and the New Zealand National Coordinator of all of the sessions that are requested. Emma shares with us her passion for this work and what drives her to put in so many volunteer hours. She also shares with us what a session with a grieving family looks like, and she lets us into a couple of sessions that have really stuck with her, whilst maintaining confidentiality, of course. Here's Emma's story. Hi, Emma. Thanks so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting and having me here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Can you start by telling us a little bit about you, Emma, and what you do?
Yeah, I am a daughter, a sister, yep. A mother to fur babies. Ollie, the golden retriever, who's a 8-month-old baby, and Charlie, the rescue cat, who doesn't know he's a cat. I'm a photographer. I capture everything from births and newborns to families to kitchens and even car parts at times. And wow. I'm a photographer for Heartfelt.
Yes. And I remember you captured some beautiful horses. What are those horses?
Oh, the Kaimanawas. Yeah, that was an incredible experience.
That was amazing.
Yeah, so special to see them out in the wild.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about your work for Heartfelt. And I just have to say before we start, I dig into these questions that people need to know that this is all volunteer work, right?
Yeah, 100% volunteer.
Yeah. And when people hear about how much you do, that's going to seem a little, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. So do you want to start by telling us what Heartfelt is and what we do and kind of what it's all about and how it started?
Yeah, sure. So Heartfelt's a volunteer organisation of photographers that are all dedicated to giving the gift of photographic memories to families who experience stillbirth or have children with serious and life-threatening illnesses and conditions. Mm-hmm. So Heartfelt started, well, its origins come from an Australian group called the Australian Community of Child Photographers.
Oh, really?
So that started and it was operating in 2007 to, I think, 2009 over in Aussie. But Heartfelt, as we know it now, was founded in 2010 by a Melbourne photographer and our current president, Gavin Blue, along with a handful of other committed photographers. Gavin sort of started it. He and his wife had a loss, and they lost their term daughter. And he recognised the huge difference between the photographs that he'd taken and the ones that the hospital took. And whilst it was amazing that the hospital took some, they were very different to the gentle images that he had done. Which showed the need for us.
Yeah.
So that started in 2010 and obviously in Australia, and we're now here in New Zealand, and we have over 320 photographers around Australia and New Zealand, and we've provided services to over 9,000 families at last count.
Wow, since 2010.
Yeah, so that's a huge number of families, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And so how long has Heartfelt been in New Zealand for?
We started in New Zealand in 2014. I actually had written to Gavin in, I think it was 2013, asking if anyone had brought it here or was thinking about it. And he said, "Do you want to?" And I went, "No, no." I was terrified. I was sort of information gathering. And thankfully someone else did, bless them. And I, yeah, went to an information day. So.
Right. So how did you know about it then at that point when you were just interested?
Google, basically. I'd heard of Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, which is a similar organisation largely in the States.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just Googling, basically, right. As you do.
Yeah. So did you have a special interest in this area for you to be doing that Googling?
Yeah, well, it all started one night. I fell into the internet and as you do, and came across a photo blog from a mother, and her baby had lived for 19 minutes, and nice. Almost every one of those 19 minutes had been photographed. And it was so powerful, and I couldn't kind of stop thinking about it. But it was very early days of my photography career, so it kind of went on the back burner. But I liken it to like an echo or a heartbeat that just ran along in the background.
Waiting for you to be ready.
Yeah.
Amazing. I didn't know some of that stuff about you. And I knew Gavin had lost his baby, but I didn't realize it was a term baby. Yeah. Okay. So can you tell us like what your role at Heartfelt is? Like, so tell us about the role of the photographer and your bigger role as well.
So, yeah, first and foremost, I'm a photographer for Heartfelt. That's what I joined for, and I won't ever let the admin side of things interfere with that. But I'm also the vice president, the New Zealand representative, and New Zealand coordinator, which is a lot of things. So as far as, you know, the photographer, I take the photos. As the coordinator, I am the 0800 number for Heartfelt. So every request that comes through me, and I direct it on to local photographers and coordinate the timing between the medical staff, the parents, and the photographer.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is simple, and other times, as you're aware, it can be a bit of a mission.
Absolutely.
As part of my role as coordinator and representative, I support or do my best to support all our photographers, checking in with them from their sessions. I organise education sessions at the hospitals, recruit photographers, and start the paperwork ball rolling too.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do a lot. I was just thinking the other day, oh my gosh, what would happen if Emma stopped doing that? What would happen?
as long as I'm sucking in oxygen, I'm doing it. So, and, you know, obviously if there are good, passionate people, I'm happy to share the load anyway.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I don't regret any seconds that I spend on the charity.
Yeah. And can I ask, how much of your week would you say is spent giving yourself to Heartfelt?
I've never really timed it as
much. Yeah, of course.
Some days it can be a lot. You know, it can be 5 phone calls to organise one session, and that's just the phone calls, not, you know, entering the information and then checking later down the line that the photos have gone to the printer and the families and things. I'd say on a normal day, the admin side of things is well less than an hour. It can be done relatively quickly. I've got an app on my phone for our database system, so it can be done on the run, which is good. And then obviously then there's the editing and the actual sessions, which is the time consuming. But
yeah, because it involves the travel and those things, right? Yeah. And I mean, I know from experience that some days or some weeks, there are so many sessions that come through. It's just,
yeah,
it's really ebbs and flows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems to cluster, and I can't explain that.
No.
And it'll cluster not only in an area, but in a particular hospital, and then they'll seem to take a breather, and it's the next one's turn. I've had days when I've noticed that my phone hasn't gone for a few days, and I then start getting concerned that something's gone wrong, and I have been known to actually call the 0800 number and check that it's working.
Okay. Do you know approximately how many families are looked after by Heartfelt in New Zealand every year?
Yeah, it's about 350, which is pretty much a session a day. Although, as we just said, sometimes it's five in one day, and then none for a few days. Our numbers this year seem to be a little bit higher, and I think that is down to more areas being aware of us, and it's becoming less taboo, so families are saying yes more.
Yeah, that's right. And do you know how that number compares to how many families would be in this situation or get offered?
I'm not entirely sure. The trouble is they're getting offered. You can look at the mortality reports, although I think the current one that is out, just because statistics take a while, is 2016. So it's hard to marry up the information.
Yeah, yeah.
I know some of our hospitals, I've talked to, you know, the key staff, and they've said they get about a 95% yes rate to us.
Wow.
Which is huge.
That's amazing.
Obviously, I'd love that to be 100, because I fear that families regret saying no, but you can't force it.
No, absolutely not. Oh, I've got a couple more questions before we talk about what a session actually looks like. So you've told us how you started with Heartfelt, and you've told us what kind of where it came from. So this question might be redundant, but what drives you to spend so much of your time volunteering in this way?
It was a really huge thing becoming a member. So almost 7 years ago, when I went to the information evening, and I was terrified. I thought I was too emotional as a human to be able to do it. And I bit the bullet and joined. And what drives me and has driven me since then is the families. And I've always believed in the power of photographs, from, you know, family photos that we've got and historical ones of my grandparents and things. And these photos are so much more important, because they're capturing a little lifetime and some of the few parenting moments a family may have with their child, whether it's bathing their baby or putting on little booties or just holding their baby. And sometimes that's for the first time, but it's also the quiet and hellos and goodbyes that happen sadly so close together for so many families. It's the families. It's the fact that I can. So I will.
And I know from working with you that you are determined that no family is going to miss out on their photos. So just logistically, for people to understand, like, Emma will put out a call to the team in that area and then says who can go. And it's usually needed within, what would you say, 24 hours?
Yeah, that would be, generally, sometimes more urgent in different circumstances.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get a bit of warning.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But as you can imagine, for people listening, that, if the people who are on the team have all got their own work and businesses and families, so getting someone there can sometimes be really challenging in a short space of time, can't it?
It can. It's really hard. And I know a lot of our members feel really guilty when they have to say no.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. It's because they are compassionate and dedicated that they feel guilty, and I feel bad that I make them feel guilty. It's definitely, like, it's not my intention, but it helps at times without sounding too cheeky. But yeah, it can be a really big struggle, and I dread having to say no. And to date, we haven't said no to a family that really wants photos. One way or another, we have made it work.
Wow. That astounds me, because I just know how many times I see on the thread, "I'm sorry, I'm not available. I'm sorry, I'm not available." And is it you, Emma, that pretty much in the Auckland region picks up those ones that no one else can do?
A lot of the times it is. I'm lucky that, well, lucky in this position, in this sense, I don't have children. So I have more flexibility. I'm not having to feed, clothes, pick anyone up from school.
Yeah.
So that makes a huge difference in my flexibility. We've got a few members that have more flexibility in their day. They're, you know, done their young parent days, and they've got growing up children, which really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm entering that phase for you soon. Not grown up, but, you know, more independent.
So supportive, yeah. And they're so supportive of the time that you give to other families, which is so important.
So can you talk us through a variety of kind of situations that families might find themselves in where they would be offered our services? What kind of things are we going to?
Yeah, so often the first point of call is when a mum has the scan and gets bad news or worrying news. And then some of the fetal medicine team will bring up heartfelt then, which is incredible.
Like at a 20-week scan kind of situation?
Yeah, so that's amazing. And that's before they've made any decisions or confirmed anything. They start planting the seed, which we love. Our most common sessions are those of stillborns and those fetal demises in utero. So they can happen obviously either spontaneously or after a termination for medical reasons and things. Because obviously these photos will be the only ones that they have.
Exactly.
So we photograph officially from 21 weeks, but it's a very loose guideline. And we have taken photos of babies much younger than that as well. In that case, when they are well outside our guidelines, I do always say to the staff, you know, I will do my best, but I can't make any promises.
Yeah, right.
But we've generally been able to do it. Our photographers are a big-hearted bunch, which is fabulous.
Yeah, so I think the youngest I've done was 18 weeks.
Yeah, I've done a 15-week baby.
Wow.
Who was, I mean, it was kind of incredible. You don't get to see them. So it's kind of magical. And I've sort of reiterated that at times when I've got friends that are pregnant and, you know, they say, oh, I'm 15 weeks, and in my head I'm like, I have seen one of those. I know exactly what's happening, which is it's kind of special. It's a window to another world, really.
Yeah, it is. Hey.
So our other kind of common sessions are in the ICU units, so either the neonatal units or the pediatrics, and that's the critical babies and children who are either still fighting for their lives, hopefully going to pull through, but maybe not. And then the little ones that are being potentially lifted out of their incubators for the first time for cuddles with mum and dad. And then on the tail end of those journeys, we are there to witness and capture as treatment's withdrawn and the life support's taken off.
Which makes me cry just thinking about
those are really tough when you're witnessing that. It's beyond beyond what a lay person, a photographer, would expect to do in their day-to-day life.
Yeah, I just want to say about that, I've done a couple of those, and everything about Heartfelt to me is a privilege to be in that room, but those ones I've been in the room where people are literally watching their baby die, it's just such an honour to be in that space and to capture it for them. So, they're tough, though. They're really tough.
They are tough, but, some of the most beautiful as well. I think often, especially with the little babies, it's the first time their parents see their babies without tubes and wires and things, and they light up seeing the beauty of the face, as hard as the next minutes are going to be.
Yeah, and that's so special to get those photos without all the gear on their face.
Yeah, the paraphernalia.
Yeah, and then we also do older children sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, palliative. We work closely with organisations like Heart Kids and the Child Cancer Foundation, capturing generally in those cases the last professional family photos when the diagnosis is palliative. Yeah. And they can be really special sessions. And they're often not in the hospital. They're either at home or in a local park or a beach or, you know, wherever. And they're more like a family session that you do in your regular day-to-day work.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're kind of more poignant.
Yeah,
and exactly. As well as being, more, I guess, gentler sessions for the photographer, they can also be really hard.
Yeah.
Like those kids have got nicknames and best friends and favourite foods, and that's pretty huge to know that that's the end of the road for them, treatment-wise.
That's right. Yeah, it's quite a broad range of kind of situations, isn't it?
You kind of don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you talk us through, like, what a session would look like when a Heartfelt photographer arrives, usually at the hospital, but not always, sometimes at families' homes, arrives to be with a family and take those photos? What does it kind of look like?
It's hard to, I think I'll give an overview, being thinking of the listeners, because every session is so different, but it's also essentially the same as well, especially from the photography point of view, where we've got our main aims, which is capturing the interactions between the parents, extended families, and their baby or child. Yeah. Yeah. We're capturing the big picture and also the details, and along the way, trying to ensure that we capture gentle images that are non-confrontational, that are easier to share.
Right, yeah.
So from the photography point of view, that's kind of essentially the bullet points. From entering the room, we make the introductions. We kind of let parents know what the session might look like. At that point, I always let them know that they are in control, they are the boss, and anything that is suggested that they're not happy with, that they tell me. And also, if they need a break or want me to step out of the room or want me to finish, they just have to say the word.
I always also say to them, this is not photos where you need to look at me.
Yeah, because and there's lots of families that as soon as you pick your camera up, they sort of automatically look up at you and smile.
Yeah.
it's a natural reflex in front of a camera.
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing to step into someone's worst day with a camera. Whilst we've got, guidelines and we do as much training with our photographers as we can, there's no real rule book on how you navigate it. So then during the session, we encourage the cuddling or the gentle touches of hands and feet, which sometimes can be a bit of a hurdle for parents getting to that point. And I love nothing more than when you go to a session and sometimes, I don't think we've said, we're called to a session where they want photos of the baby only. They don't want to be there, which is tough. But I always feel a a sense, it sounds wrong to call it a win, but I think you'll understand what I mean. When a family say, I just want the baby photos, and I manage to maybe get their hands in with little hands and feet, or cuddling the baby by the end of the session, and it does feel that for them it's going to be so much more worthwhile later.
Yeah, do you know, I did a session the other day and the mum said, oh, I don't want to be in any photos. And I said, that's fine. We can put your hands in if you like. Just have a think about it while I'm doing these first photos. And as soon as I brought the baby over to her to do the hands, she's like, can I please hold him? And I was like, yes, you can. And they were beautiful, yeah.
It's amazing that gentle coaxing and encouragement that gets them there. And I think almost bigger than the photos is that permission to cuddle their baby.
I know. You're allowed.
It's pretty, you're allowed and it's encouraged. And I always try and say at the end of a session, scooting to the end of the chat, and enjoy this time with your baby,
right?
Because as hard as it is, you only get those fleeting moments.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty lucky in that we give them non-medical time to be with their baby. It's bringing it down to a kind of simpler level. Whilst we look at the big picture as well and capture that, what's happening in the room, it's also the little details that I think giving parents that little focus point helps change it from big picture grief to my baby's got his dad's feet, or that's my lip, and things like that, which is really special. We kind of normalize it in a way. So that's kind of, so we do the photos, and the sessions vary in time. I've done sessions that are really quick, 15, 20 minutes sort of thing, through to big marathon hours spent with a family in their darkest hours. There's no rule that you have to stay the whole time, obviously, and if a photographer has to go, we do, and we either try and get back there at a time that's more convenient, or roll with what we've achieved. But the timing is a hard one to say, because it depends on how the parents are feeling.
That's right.
And a lot of factors, really.
I always know when I go to NICU that it's going to be much longer, because if we're getting baby up for cuddles, it just takes time. It just, all those wires and things, it just takes, I just know I need to have a lot more time available to do that.
Yeah, it's not a session when you've only got half an hour to whip in and take photos and pop out again. So those NICU spaces. And I think also they're a little bit, I don't know, slower paced because baby is still alive in a way. Those final moments, not that we rush the other sessions,
but
you're also conscious of being an extra human in a private space, and you want to ensure that they've got their room to grieve.
That's right. Are you able to, so obviously we have to do this without breaching anyone's confidentiality, but are you able to share a session or two that have really stuck with you? Just a little bit about what happened or why it has stuck with you?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I know.
I think I've met around 450 families now in close to 7 years. And almost all of them stand out for one reason or another.
Yeah.
I was flicking through galleries the other day looking for photos for a photographer to give her some ideas of what she might be faced with a particular condition. And I discovered that I could look at a snippet of a baby and go, oh, I remember him. which was, yeah, quite incredible. And I didn't realize how much they, you know, a lot of them stay with me. But
there's been a
couple. There was recently one in one of our NICUs, so the neonatal intensive care unit, for a withdrawal. And we were in the private family room, and the parents had made the decision, the hardest decision of their life, to turn off their little boy's life support. He was the most beautiful full-term baby, which always makes a session kind of harder because they're big babies that look like they're just sleeping. And he had the most beautiful long lashes and, you know, the sweetest button nose. And the parents were really, really quiet and self-contained, I guess, is a way of putting it. They whispered gently to their son. They held each other and their little boy. And they didn't really engage with me or the nursing staff. And sometimes in those quiet sessions, you feel a little bit invasive being there. But in this session, it was incredible. It really felt like I was in a sacred space. You know, I'm not religious per se, but I, you know, could have been in the holiest of places. It was beautiful. There was love flowing through the room. It was tender. It almost felt palpable, the energy. And as I witnessed their final moments with their son alive, I captured them loving him, the tears that fell on him as he passed away, and how gentle and quiet and how beautiful death can be when you're surrounded by those that love you and will remember you. And it really did. It highlighted, you know, the beauty in death, and was just powerful.
Wow. My whole body is covered in goosebumps.
Yeah, I've given myself goosebumps there, and I've done really well. I'm not too teary, and it's a good thing this isn't a video call.
I reckon.
So another one that sticks with me, for all the wrong reasons, and that it's you don't want this for the family, is during COVID last year, which was another whole hurdle, I received a message from a family who I'd met before when I took photos of their daughter who passed after cardiac issues. She was a newborn. And that had been a heartbreaking session. Beautiful mum and dad, their beautiful daughter, and big sister, who was so beautiful with her little baby that passed, her baby sister. She held her and rocked her and sung to her. So because it had been such a beautiful session, they stuck in my head. And I got the message that they needed us again. Which broke me for them. And they had been absolutely overjoyed to welcome a little boy to their family. And whilst we all know that no baby replaces a loss, this little dude had brought a twinkle back into their eyes for 9 months. And his big sister had spent those months anticipating holding another sibling again. And very unexpectedly, at 3 days old, he passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
It was during COVID, so families couldn't gather in the hospitals, which made it doubly hard and made it a very lonely time for them. And I was broken for them. I thought that what we'd already done was the hardest thing they'd have to do, and for them to have to do it again. And I know they're not alone in families that go through these multiple losses, but it just felt so cruel. I met them at the funeral home, pretty much in tears the whole way there, just knowing that it was going to be big. And again at the funeral home, because we couldn't be at the hospital. I got to the car park and the mum came running out at me. I didn't even get to the doors of the funeral parlour, and she came running out and wrapped herself around me in the biggest, soggiest, tearful hug. And I, for anyone that knows me, I am rented here completely. I can watch ads on TV and cry. I don't even need a whole program.
I'm with you.
So I was an absolute mess at that point. But there were so many big feelings around that case that obviously I'm not going to go into. But it was huge, and they were just hurting all over again for their last daughter and for all the hopes and dreams that have been crushed losing this little boy. And it was tough. It was really tough. And with the extra COVID levels, I was there while they talked to the funeral director about photos, which I didn't quite realize about funeral arrangements. I didn't quite realize I was going to be that in that space with them. But I think I was their support line, being slightly removed, albeit no less emotional than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And because they were only allowed 10 people in at the funeral, I had the honour of being one of those 10.
Wow.
So I could capture the funeral a couple of days later for the family that couldn't be there. And that was hard. It was the photos initially with just the family was beyond anything, but they had brought little mementos of their daughter as well, so she was included in the photos as well. Actually her ashes came to the funeral. Which, when I noticed them, I was very glad for a camera in front of my face that I could just hide behind. But yeah, I think that one, number one, the double loss, but number two, with it being COVID times, was just added that other layer of heightened emotion, and I will never forget those couple of moments with them.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those two stories. I think it's really amazing for people to hear what it really is, what really happens in those rooms. And my experience is every time it's different, just depending on where people are at.
Yeah, and you never know until you're there.
You never know, yeah, yeah. So you talked about being emotional. Are you often emotional alongside families? How does that kind of look?
I've cried, as I've just said, not always, but I'd say often. Obviously we always need to be professional, and I find that the camera is an incredible barrier. It's like a fourth wall, but obviously as an empath and a human, it's impossible not to feel, and I wouldn't want to not feel something. There have been little trickly tears that roll down my cheeks, and on the odd occasion, a lot more than a trickle. But most of the time, I keep my composure generally until I leave the room, and I walk back through the hospital staring intently at the lights on the ceiling and sit quietly then in my car and reground and regroup before I drive out of the car park. Some sessions, it's not until you're editing the photos that the emotions come through.
That's true.
And I think because it's really intimate editing these babies, you're pouring such gentle attention to each photo and feeling the weight of the loss, which is only matched kind of by the magnitude of the love.
That's so true.
So, yeah, I try not to cry, obviously, but I've also been thanked for the tears by family.
So I was going to say, I feel really strongly about that. Like, if the emotion's there, let it be, because that's showing that family that you care and that their baby matters. And I also feel like that the nursing staff, because they're there all day, every day, that possibly can't do that so much. And that I always feel like I can, because I'm only there for a short time and I don't do it all day, every day. So I can give those things. I hug people a lot, actually. Do you hug people a lot? Yeah.
I do. Obviously you judge it on the families, but I go to leave and I have dads and grandpas and mums all reaching out for cuddles and big siblings, bless them. Yes. I did one session, almost the whole session, with a two-year-old trying to climb on my hip and have love, which was challenging, but delightful too.
Yeah.
So yeah, the emotions, I tell parents not to hide, you know, when you see them furiously scrubbing away tears. I always say you don't have to hide them. And for that same reason, I don't have to hide them.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, lots of people say to me, oh, I wouldn't be able to do that. I don't know how you do it. How do you do it, Emma?
Yeah, I get that a lot with people. I feel like I should have a continual trigger warning on my shirt, because I'll tell people what I do too.
Yes.
But obviously I'm not going to broadcast it to a room full of pregnant people. But if the situation is appropriate, and maybe even sometimes a little bit not the most appropriate, if they ask, I tell them. Because I think that awareness is so important, and you never know who's going to end up needing us or knowing someone that needs us. So I talk about it. But going back, kind of more on to what you said, I don't have a great answer, but how can I not do it? I know how treasured and important the photos are, and I feel like there's so few times in our lives that you can truly make a difference for someone else. But Heartfelt genuinely does that, not just in remembering, but allowing the parents to celebrate their baby. I guess often when we come in, they're still in huge shock and they're stuck on that big picture grief. My baby has died. And with us bringing it down to holding hands and feet, that's when they notice the details. It makes it slightly less big picture and kind of more palatable to understand in little chunks for them to get them through. But yeah, it comes down to just how I know it exists. Like, I couldn't not do it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
So, and following on from that, what do you do to look after yourself? Because, you know, these sessions can take a toll on us emotionally. Do you have anything that you talked about grounding yourself once you get back to your car? Is there anything else you do to care for yourself?
Wine? Wine is great. There's a reason for it was invented. On a more serious note, we're a little family of photographers, I guess, is the way of putting it. And whilst it's only one of us at any one time in the room, there's 350 of us across Australia and New Zealand that are actually there alongside you. So we have the private space online that we can debrief and share in, which is really beneficial. Being able to talk to someone or talk to 70 people, as the case may be, that understands where you've been and what moment that you've just walked out of.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky. My mum is incredibly supportive in all walks of life, but actually Heartfelt inspired her to pick up a camera again after many, many years. Right. And I've recruited her as a member. If you can't beat them, join them, I think. A little bit there. So it's really good to be able to share with her and friends like you when you've had a big session and you need to vent or cry or just talk. As far as quietly rebuilding myself, refilling my tank, I'm a beach girl. The beach has always been the place that I go to when I'm happy, sad, angry, anything, feeling the feelings. Yeah. And so much to the golden retriever's joy, and actually our cat comes to the beach too.
No.
He's a cat dog. He's bizarre. He loves going around the rocks and lying on the sand. So there's lots of beach time, which is magic. I think it's really important to be conscious of the emotional toll and to recognize when you need to fill your tank and take a moment, which I battle with a little bit, in the sense that because the family's need is bigger than mine, I will put myself aside to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And I know there's days, you know, I've looked after four families in a day, and by the end of that day, I knew that the next couple of days, I actually just couldn't take a session. I couldn't do it justice for them, without, you know, losing a little bit more of myself. But it took, you know, just a couple of days once I'd edited and said goodbye to those babies, that I could reset again.
That's so sensible. Yeah, I know that.
And I love, you know, from the coordinator point of view, I love when our photographers say, hey, I'm not in a space at the moment. I need to take a wee break. I don't have the ability to do heartfelt sessions. And most of the times that's not about time. It's about whatever else is happening in our very busy lives. So, and I love that they tell me that.
Absolutely. So, Emma, our final question today is, and you may have answered already, but let's wrap it up with this. What does it mean to you to be able to help families experiencing baby loss or child loss?
It's a huge honour. It's incredible to be invited into a family's darkest days, darkest moments, to be one of the few non-medical people outside of the family that get to meet and cherish their baby. I guess before I jumped on this heartfelt train that's taken over my life a little bit, I had no idea of the magnitude of families that experience loss. I wasn't blind to it. I knew that it happened, but seeing it almost every day is a whole nother story.
I'm the same. I had no idea how many people experience this.
And this is only the ones we're meeting. So there's all the early ones that aren't at our, it's insane. I think also I've entered a space where I have more experience with babies who have passed away than the staff that are working with the family. Which I never thought I'd be in that position. But I think because of it, in some ways, my ability to normalize it for the family helps them to celebrate that little life and the perfectly imperfect child without death being the only thing. I sort of see past the death, and all I see is their beautiful child. I hope that through our lenses that we allow the parents and their families to see that too. It's hard. It's hard, and some babies, you know, aren't in the best condition, but I'm like, he's so beautiful. And I say it and I 100% mean it.
Same. Absolutely.
And it's magic. And obviously we don't do any of these sessions for the thing, but the messages that we do get are incredibly special. And I heard a mum thinking, I can't remember whether it was actually a text message that I received or one of our other members that I passed on the love through, but she thanked us for giving her the photos she never knew she always wanted. Just a magical, beautiful way of putting it. It's the photos that you hope you never need, but I hope that we can always be there to offer them. I think the photos definitely aid in the grieving journey.
Me too.
And there are actually some university studies happening on that, which is really cool. And I think that hopefully that tangible memory that isn't muted by grief, hopefully keeps those memories and allows them to share their beautiful babies, and they put them on the walls. They put up with the family portraits where they belong. And yeah, to be able to, I mean, the baby loss journey and club is, you know, the loneliest club in the world with the most members that nobody talks about. Mm-hmm. And if having photos allows a mum and dad and a grandma and a grandpa and a big brother and a big sister to talk about that journey, and then they discover that actually, you know, there are other people that are alongside them on that journey. And I think that's pretty powerful.
That's so powerful. I agree. Oh, Emma, you are a true star. Thank you so much for joining me. And it just, you know, we do this work and it's just so nice to really talk about it and have people hear really what it's about. And this might be hard for some people to listen to, and I'll put a bit of a trigger warning at the start, but
yeah.
For the people who do listen, I'm so grateful because this is really important work and I really believe in it.
And thanks to you for highlighting that and for the parents listening, or the would-be parents and the ones that have gone through it, I hope we've been gentle with your memories.
Yeah, we have. We have. Yeah. Okay, Emma, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Emma, for sharing your work and yourself with us today. Your work and the work you support all the other volunteers to do makes such an impact for families grieving their little ones. And I thank you for all the work that you do in this area. As always, I hope this podcast brings you hope, healing, and hugs. I'm currently looking for people who would like to share their story in season 2 of the podcast. So if you are interested, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at janinefoxphotography@gmail.com. You can send me a DM through Instagram or through Facebook, or you can jump on my website and you'll find a podcast page with a contact form there. I really would love to hear from you. I really want to tell these stories.